the audio there. And Ephesians chapter 5. And I've preached this message to you a few years ago. For some reason, it mysteriously disappeared. The file did off of the internet. I've tried to play it two or three times and it won't. I had other people try to play it two or three times and it won't. I looked in my files to see if I had it somewhere. I have the notes for it twice, but I don't have the audio file anywhere. So I'm going to take that as of the Lord that I need to preach this again. And it's on Halloween. And I want to bring this issue up again. Also, having studied a lot of the esoteric things that I've learned along the way here in the last year, just understanding the occult and the way they work. Listen, you better understand. Preacher, why you got to preach this? Why should we talk about Halloween? None of us are going to practice Halloween. Well, you know what? This is for when your family comes to you and they say, "Well, I mean, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about kids dressing up like devils?" Or kids dressing up like witches, or kids dressing up like warlocks, or even kids dressing up like a transformer or anything like that. What's the big deal about that? Why should that matter so much? Well, it's because, first of all, well, let's pray, and then I'll tell you why it should matter. Father, we pray you'd bless us now and help us. Lord, we need you so badly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reason it's so important is, first of all, before I get into these verses, I just want to leave you, I want you to start with this thought. And the thought is this: Halloween is the number one satanic witches' high day. It's the number one on the calendar. It is where the most human sacrifice takes place of any other day of the year. Halloween. Now, it's not called Halloween to them. They call it something else, which we'll get to. But I want to bring some scripture into this first. And remember who we are as the children of God. Just remember who we are supposed to be. This is what the problem really is when it comes to all of these issues. For separation from the world and everything else. We forget who we're supposed to be. We are not supposed to go about like them. We are not to be like them. We are to be different than the world. We are to be separated from the world. We're not to be like them. That's the whole point of being saved. That's the whole point, is that He changes us. He gives us eternal life. And that starts here. That life starts here. Doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts here. That everlasting life starts right here. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Followers of God, as dear children, "and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." That's very powerful, isn't it? Don't be tricked by vain words. Don't be fooled by vain words. Don't be fooled by the guy that just mentions Jesus' name and then automatically he's saved. Well, the Pope does that all the time. He just said to follow your conscience like a true witch would tell somebody. Like a true humanist, like a true occultist would say. Just follow your heart. How many songs do you see? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. What do you want to follow that dirty old thing for? What do you want to follow that dirty, rotten, wicked, disgusting thing for? I'm sorry, did somebody tell you in your flesh dwelled some good thing? No. No, the Apostle Paul, a more godly man than you and I will ever be, said that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. And the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So I don't want to follow that. I want to follow God. Amen? "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We're supposed to walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, it's not only, like I told you a few weeks ago, it's not only have no fellowship, but reprove them as well. You and I, you say, why you got to preach about this? Because I'm to have no fellowship with them, but I'm also to reprove them. So I'm to preach against this wicked satanic garbage because I'm not to have any fellowship with, and I'm to reprove it. That's what God said. Bible says this, to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. This word means to keep from. I'm to avoid like the plague or the spiritual plague that evil, and I'm to stay away from it as a child of God. I'm to hate evil, and I'm to stay away from it. Well, listen, when your theme of Halloween, when the theme of Halloween is witches and warlocks and magic and everything else, I mean, isn't that the appearance of evil? I mean, it is evil, but isn't it the appearance of evil? And I'm to stay away from the appearance of it? I'm just to stay away from even the appearance of it. Well, they're not really witches. Yeah, but they're appearing to be. So if they're appearing to be, then that means I'm not supposed to have any fellowship with it, but I'm also to abstain from all appearance of evil. That means I'm supposed to be all the way away from it. I'm not supposed to have anything to do with it or even the appearance of it. I'm to stay away from it. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's what God said. That's, by the way, let me say that's point number one, that should be the guiding principle of your life. The guiding principle of our lives should be abstain from all appearance of evil. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But reprove them. We're to stay away from them. We're not even the hint of it. We're to be away from it. By the way, evil means wickedness. That part of evil anyway. There's a different evil. We'll talk about that some other time. But anyway, right now, for this context, evil is wickedness in this sense. It's evilness. Christ, in essence, was asking the Father, he said, to deliver them from that wicked one. He told them to deliver. God said that he would deliver us through salvation, that we are translated from the darkness to the light, like the Apostle Paul said when he preached the gospel. He said, from darkness to light, turning men from darkness to light. So why would we go back in the dark then? Why would you and I want to go back? And the title of this message is Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name. Which one? You know, when you name, and we're going to talk about this sometime in the third commandment, in the commandment series, when we talk about using the Lord's name in vain. But you know, there's a double application to that. That vain can be you calling yourself vainly a Christian when you don't even live like it. Calling yourself one, using his name after a vain manner. Oh, yeah, I mean, you just use it in name only. It's just vain. It's vanity. It has nothing to do. It's empty, void of anything. It doesn't mean anything. You're just calling yourself a Christian. You know, when you call yourself after somebody's name, it means something. So God says that he put his name on us when we're saved, and we're supposed to be like Christ. So if we're supposed to be like him, hallowed be thy name, that's the prayer of the Christian. Or Halloween. See, those two don't mix. You can't mix darkness and light together. God doesn't approve of it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8 says for us to walk in the light of the Lord. We are to walk in the light of the Lord. Does Halloween walk in that light of the Lord? Well, it depends on which Lord you're talking about. There is a God of this world, and his name is Satan or Lucifer or that old wicked serpent. And he comes as an angel of light. I mean, who was it? One of the high level Masons said that. He said, Lucifer, the light bearer, he said, he's the true light, doubt it not. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? So Lucifer does give us some sort of a light. His name means that, but it's not the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the light that you and I should walk in. You be careful about people that use generic terms like God all the time, but never use the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some of these guys are using God and they're meaning Satan. That's what they really mean. Better be careful about that. Better watch that. We're commanded to walk in the light, not in darkness. To walk in truth and love not in the evil and darkness. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil. We're not to have any fellowship with it. We're to stay away from it. That's the first principle. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you and I would follow and adhere to that principle, there's a lot of things we'll separate from. Amen. That principle caused you to throw away a bunch of rotten movies. Amen. That principle will cause you to throw away a bunch of rock music. Or a bunch of New Age hippie Christian music. You'll throw that away too. Amen. It'll cause you to abstain and stay away from a lot of things in your life because it has the appearance of evil and it is evil. Walk as children of the light is the command of God. That's how we're to walk. So just getting started, that's the principle. So that's what this is based all off of. You say, you do have a verse that says, thou shalt not celebrate Halloween? Well, I know there's seven words in the Bible. Learn not the way of the heathen. Seven words. Learn not the way of the heathen, he said in Jeremiah. Think about that number seven. But seven words, learn not the way of the heathen. Don't learn their ways. Interesting, isn't it? All right, so let me ask you this question to get started. Is there an appearance of evil in Halloween? I mean, I would say that that's probably one of the easiest questions to ask. Oh, it's harmless. Yeah, because dressing up like devils and antichrist and dressing up and following the actors and the zombies and the magic and the Harry Potters and all those other things. Those couldn't possibly be evil, could they? Yeah, they're definitely evil. They have that appearance of evil. You're dressing up like that. Well, I'll tell you why you are. People don't even know why they are. Halloween is referred to as Samhain most of the time. And it's celebrated as an ancient pagan festival of the dead by Wiccans and pagans all over the world. Unfortunately, just giving the date a holy name, like All Hallows Eve or All Saints Eve, cannot change its character. I want to read you something. And, you know, like I always do, I don't like to read you what independent Baptists say. Because, you know, that to me doesn't, when we're talking about something like this, you've heard other preachers preach on this. And what's Halloween? You know, I heard a preacher say one time, well, Halloween's not a big deal in our church. And then I seen his daughter that was a Christian school teacher write Happy Halloween on the chalkboard at a Christian school. And I thought, well, wait a minute. That looks like it's a problem. I don't know about you, but I mean, at a Christian school. Well, let's see. Let's examine what a witch says about it. A witch. She says this, and this is from a witch's website. She says, you call it Halloween, we call it Samhain. Halloween has its origins in the British Isles, while the modern tradition of trick-or-treat developed in the U.S. is based on folk customs brought into this country, which with Irish immigrants after 1840, since ancient times in Ireland, Scotland, and England. October 31st has been celebrated as a feast for the dead, and also the day that marks the new year. Mexico observes the Day of the Dead on this day, and so do other cultures. In Scotland, the Gaelic word Samhain means literally summer's end. This holiday is also known as All Hallows Eve, Hallowtide, Hallowmass, Hallows, the Day of the Dead, All Souls Night, All Saints Day. Sounds great, doesn't it? For early Europeans, this time of the year marked the beginning of the cold, lean months to come. The flocks were brought in from the fields to live in sheds until spring. Some animals were slaughtered and a meat preserved to provide food for winter. The last gathering of the crops was known as harvest home. So she goes on to give kind of a background of exactly where this kind of came from. In addition to its agricultural significance, the ancient Celts also saw Samhain as a very spiritual time. Whoa, what spirit? You see, you always have to examine the spirit. The Bible says this. Try the spirits. And see whether they're of God. Try them. Believe not every spirit, brethren, but try the spirits. Because October 31st lies exactly between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice, it is theorized that ancient peoples, with their reliance on astrology, thought it was a very potent time for magic and communion with spirits. Well, they're right. It is, if you talk to a witch. They understand that. The veil between the worlds. See, they believe that the veil, remember that fourth dimension we talked about? Remember that? They believe at that time, that's when the veil is thinner and they can reach the spirit world or the fourth dimension. Interesting, isn't it? The veil between the worlds of the living and the dead was said to be at its thinnest on this day. So the dead were invited to return to feast with their loved ones. Welcomed in from the cold, much of the animals were brought inside. Ancient customs ranged from placing food out for dead ancestors. Hey, that sounds familiar. To performing rituals for communicating with those who had passed over. So, wait a minute. Are you saying that they had rituals to communicate with familiar spirits? Yeah, that's what it's for. That's what it's for. Communion with the dead was thought to be the work of witches and sorcerers, although the common folk thought nothing of it, because the rise of the church led to growing suspicion of the pagan ways of country dwellers. Samhain also became associated with witches, black cats, bats, nights, creatures, ghosts, and other spooky things. The stereotype of the old hag riding the broomstick is simply a caricature. Fairy tales have exploited this image for centuries. Divination of the future was also commonly practiced at this magical potent time, since it was also the Celtic New Year. People focused on their desires for the coming year. Certain traditions, such as bobbing for apples, roasting nuts in the fire, and baking cakes which contain tokens of luck, are actually ancient methods of telling fortunes. This is from a witch now, understand? This is not from a preacher saying this. This is a witch. And by the way, she's not saying this for Christians, understand? She's just saying, hey, this is the way it is. This is our religion. You guys are stealing it. What about jack-o'-lanterns? Other old traditions have survived to this day. Lanterns carved out of pumpkins and turnips were used to provide light on a night when huge bonfires were lit. And all households let their fires go out so they could be rekindled from this new fire. This was believed to be good luck for all households. The name jack-o'-lantern means Jack of the Lantern and comes from an old Irish tale. Jack was a man who could enter neither heaven nor hell and was condemned to wander through the night with only a candle in a turnip for light. Or so goes the legend. But such folk names were commonly given to nature spirits, like the Jack and the Green, or to plants believed to possess magical properties like John O'Dreams or Jack in the Pulpit. Kind of weird. Irish fairy tale folklore is full of such references. Since candles placed in hollowed out pumpkins or turnips commonly grown for food and abundant this time of year would produce flickering flames, especially on cold nights in October. This phenomenon may have led to the association of spirits with the lanterns, and this in turn may have led to the tradition of carving scary faces on them. It is an old legend that candle flames which flicker on Samhain night are being touched by the spirits of dead ancestors or ghosts. Learn not the way of the heathen. Well, what about the candy? That has to be harmless, right? It's got to be harmless. It tastes good, but I don't know how harmless it is. Trick-or-treat is practiced in the U.S. as a complex custom believed to derive from several Samhain traditions as well as being unique in this country. Since Irish immigrants were predominantly Catholic, they were more likely to observe All Souls Day. But Ireland's folk tradition die hard and the old ways of Samhain were remembered. The old tradition of going door-to-door asking for donations of money or for food for the New Year's feast was carried over to the U.S. from the British Isles. Hogmanay was celebrated January 1st in rural Scotland, and there are records of a trick-or-treat type custom. Curses would be invoked on those who did not give generously, while those who did give from their hearts were blessed and praised. Hence, the notion of trick-or-treat was born, although this greeting was not commonly used until the 1930s in the U.S. The wearing of costumes is an ancient practice. Villagers would dress as ghosts to escort the spirits of the dead to the outskirts of the town at the end of the night celebration. By the 1920s, trick-or-treat became a way of letting off steam for those urban poor living in crowded conditions. Innocent acts of vandalism? That's a witch, so go figure. Innocent acts of vandalism, soaping windows, etc., gave way to violent, cruel acts. Organizations like the Boy Scouts tried to organize ways this holiday to become safe and fun. They started the practice of encouraging good children to visit shops and homes asking for treats so as to prevent criminal acts. These beggars' nights became very popular and have evolved to what we know as Halloween today. What do modern witches do at Halloween? It's their high day. Well, I doubt she's going to tell you exactly what they do, but we'll see. It is an important holiday for us. Now, I'm just curious. Is Halloween an important holiday for you? If you're listening to this and you're a born-again believer and have the Spirit of God inside of you, is Halloween something that your children and you practice? Because it's a witch's high day. So why would we learn the way of the heathen? It is an important holiday for us. Witches are diverse and practice a variety of traditions. Many of us use this time to practice forms of divination. They're probably out there casting spells on all these children that are out running around. And, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is a child sacrifice, child trafficking time of the year. Animal sacrifice, animal trafficking. She's not saying this. These are my own quotes, but I'm just telling you from what I have seen. That's exactly in history and everything and in reports. This is exactly what goes on. It's real. Anyway, they practice forms of divination such as tarot or runes. Many witches perform rituals to honor the dead and may invite their deceased loved ones to visit for a time. Wow. If they choose. This is not a seance in the usual sense of the word. Witches extend an invitation rather than summoning the dead, and we believe the world of the dead is very close to this one. I believe that too. So on Samhain and again on Beltane, May 1st, we'll talk about that someday. We're going to actually talk about all of these high days. Not tonight, but sometime. We're going to talk about all of them. They're in a unique pattern. 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6. Really strange pattern. But planned pattern. Anyway. The numbers mean something. May 1st was chosen for a reason. Beltane is chosen for a reason. When the veil between the world, so on Samhain and again on Beltane, May 1st, when the veil between the worlds is thin, we attempt to travel between those worlds. Not on brooms. Although I thought I see Nancy Pelosi riding one of those. Anyway. They travel between worlds. We attempt to travel between these worlds. This is done through meditation, visualization, and astral projection. I'm going to tell you something. There's some mysticism and some contemplative prayer going on in churches today, and all it is witchcraft. It's the same thing. They're doing the same thing witches are doing, and they're of the same spirit. We'll get into that when we cover prophets of the new age. Sometime in the weeks to come. Because witches acknowledge human existence as part of a cycle of life, death, and rebirth. Rebirth is interesting what they believe. Samhain is a time to reflect on our mortality and to confront our fears of dying. So we'll just go ahead and astral project and contact and go through the spirit world and contact dead spirits and just to think about the dead. Some witches look at Samhain as a time to prepare for the long, dark months of winter, a time of introspection and drawing inward. They may bid goodbye to the summer with one last celebratory rite. I bet. They may have harvest feasts with vegetables and fruits they have grown, or home-brewed cider or mead. They may give thanks for what they have. Thanks to who? Satan? Still others may celebrate with costume parties, enjoying treats and good times with friends. There are so many ways of observing Samhain as there are witches in the world. Yeah. I'll end quote there. Yeah, some of them go ahead and have sacrifices. That's what some of them do. By the way, there's also, I want to give you a few other things here on that. That was from a witch, okay? She is admitting what they do. Now, she's not telling you what real Illuminati high-level witches do and what they practice and why they do what they do. She's just telling you that it's their holiday. She's telling you that it's their holy day. It's their high day. So why should God's people have anything to do with that? Why should you and I have anything to be participating in besides use it to evangelize and preach? I mean, I think that's a good idea. Anytime you have a crowd, it's good to go preach. I mean, especially when you're on the streets or wherever you are to try to get a witness to folks. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think we need to do that where the people are. Paul went where the people were crowded. He went in there and just started. I mean, he went to Mars Hill and there's a bunch of pagans up there. And what did he do? He started preaching the Bible to them. Why? Because they were all gathered right there. He started preaching to them, preached the truth to them. I think it's a good idea to do. Anyway, October 31st is the most important day in a satanic year. It marks that Celtic New Year. It is their most important. Again, it's because that veil is thin and they could call up the spirits of the wicked dead who had died during the past year. At the same time, other evil spirits arose and went about the countryside harassing the people. On October 31st, the Celts is expected to be harassed by ghosts, evil spirits, and demons. And it was no fun and games to them. They would light bonfires to guide the spirits to their own town to ward off evil spirits. Right. The Druids. The Celtics had satanic priests called Druids. The Druids went from house to house demanding certain foods, and all those who refused are cursed. The people were tormented by means of magic. As they went, the Druids carried large turnips, which we talked about earlier. They hollowed out, they carved demon faces. They wore costumes, were worn at times to hide the identity of the Druid. So they didn't know who the Druid was, or the witch, or the warlock was, so they hid their faces. So that's where the costume customs come from. To hide. Divination was practiced, again, like we talked about. Those who practiced fortune telling and divination found that it was that night that they had the most success. They called upon Satan to bless their efforts. One form of divination was to put apples in a tub and bob for them. We talked about that already. You have to understand something. Satan knows that God set in order the times and the seasons. In the book of Genesis, God set that all in order. So what they, and God said he gave the sun for the day and the moon for the night to rule over the night. And he gave all these things and times for seasons. Well, Satan understood that. Remember, he was there when all the sons of God shouted for joy. So what did he do? He stole those days when he fell, and he uses them for satanic high days. And he uses them for worship to him. And these people follow them. Now, I know kids that go out trick-or-treating, they don't know any of that stuff. I understand that. But when you do know, why would you want to be a part? And by the way, what is wrong with us when we think that we should celebrate something like Halloween the first one? If I didn't know all the other deep down and stuff, why would we want to celebrate that? What does a witch have to do with God? The Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. Amen. I'm not saying you kill them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. What God's judgment was on those that sought out familiar spirits. It's like talking about Hollywood and rock music. When you start talking about these people that consult familiar spirits, people get angry with you and say, oh, come on, that's no big deal. It is a big deal. God killed people for doing it in the Bible. It is a big deal. It does matter. And it does go on today. And they understand. And the cultists understand times and seasons. They understand it all too well. In fact, they set the Olympics and other things up just like that. And the torch is actually a cauldron. There's just a lot of stuff. I mean, these people know what they're doing, okay? These high-level Illuminati satanists, they understand what they're doing. They know full well what they're doing. But see, they also know that most people are sleeping. They're not awake. They don't know what's going on. And Christians are out there, professing Christians are out there participating in it. Following, learning the way of the heathen. And then get mad at somebody that says, well, that's the way of the heathen. No, it's not. It's just fun. No, it's not fun to do evil. It's wicked. Amen? God will punish that evil. So they did divination. They also, Halloween is a time of, Samhain was a time of sacrifices. These things happened several centuries before Christ. Sacrifices were made to gods, especially the god of death, Samhain. Sacrifices all the way from vegetables to humans were offered. This went on and on in some parts of the world and still goes on today. It hasn't changed any. In the 8th century, the Pope, in an effort to get the people to quit the festival of Samhain, invented All Saints' Day. Isn't he nice? Isn't he great, that little devil? He invented another devilish day. This was an attempt to get the people to turn away from the horrible observance of Samhain. Sure it was. That's why I want you to go ahead and take it. You ever notice how, I want to give you something here. This is free. It doesn't cost you anything. You ever notice how with Easter, it's never the same day? It's never the same Sunday. It's not always the same Sunday. Did you notice that? Does anybody know why that's not the same Sunday every March or whatever? Every time? Anybody, you know why? It's not the same because it's not the same because the Pope or the Roman Catholic Church announces that, or they use that date after the first full moon of that time, after the full moon. And it's always the first Easter. It's always the first Sunday after the full moon at that time of the year in the spring or whatever time you want to call that. But that's what he does. And it's always after the Roman Catholic Church set that up. It's always after the full moon. Well, why? Well, because they're devils. That's why. That Rome hasn't changed its stripes. They're devils. Look at him. Follow your conscience. You'll go to heaven. There isn't anything more rotten to say than to tell somebody to follow their conscience. What a dirty, rotten Jesuit. Just wicked. Absolutely wicked. Anyway, the day was supposed to be intended to honor martyrs of the Roman persecution. That didn't work. You can't Christianize a pagan holiday. In fact, during that time, the Pope was still killing Baptists anyway, so they, whatever. That's just what they did. Anyway, now what we see today, what do we see today? We see churches involved with this. You know, it's really sad that everybody's kind of went back to Rome. And Baptist churches and Lutheran churches and Protestant churches, they've all kind of went back to Rome. And they've just settled, well, Christmas must be biblical, so we're going to have Christmas. No, it's not biblical. There's nothing biblical about it. Where do you see anything in the Bible about Christmas? You don't see it. It's not there. What is it? It's satanic. That's what it is. It's not of God. It's not Jesus Christ. Come on. That's not worshiping Jesus. See, I like Christmas. Well, why? It's not Jesus. It's not celebrating the birth of Christ. It's pagan. It has nothing to do with Christ. But there's a reason they use that date. And I'll show you sometime the reason they use that date. But everybody knows that Jesus wasn't born in December. I mean, it's just, you just count the days back from John the Baptist when he was, I mean, there's ways to do it. Anyway, the rotation of the priesthood, just everything. And there's ways that he wasn't born in December. Well, who was? Well, you know, I told you last year who was. Anyway, but all of these holidays, it has nothing, they have nothing to do with the Christian faith at all. They have nothing to do with it. Halloween has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do, neither does Christmas, by the way, has nothing to do with it. So why do God's people have something to do with the satanic high day? What should God's people's response be to Halloween? Is your chief aim to glorify God? It ought to be. Your life ought to be lived to glorify God. That ought to be your chief aim in life. Your goal in life to glorify God. If I found out that Christmas didn't glorify God, then I'd get rid of it. Amen. Why? Because it doesn't glorify God. But what about the sentimental and all? Well, you know what? The sentimental is going to have to go out. It's just going to have to go out with it. Amen. I'm sorry. It's going to have to go out with it. Why? Because we don't live our lives by emotions. We live it by the Word of God. We don't live by base emotions. We live by what the Bible says. If Halloween is associated with wickedness, then I have nothing to do with Halloween. Many Christians are too afraid to separate from the world. But you know who they're more afraid of? Their family. I have never met so many people that are so scared to stand up to their family. And I mean their mom, their dad, their whoever. They're so scared to stand up and just say, you know what, we don't do this. We don't practice this Halloween. Why? Well, now you can tell them it's evil. It's a witch's high day. Well, yeah, but I'm not doing it for that. I don't care why you're doing it. It says, learn not the way of the heathen. Amen. That's all it says. Well, if the Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. If Halloween is the way of the heathen, then I'm not to learn it. That's not very hard to understand, is it? That's very simple. Very simple. I want to, you know, here's the question that people pose when Halloween and other things like this come up. Well, what if I offend my family? I got a better one for you. What about you offending God? What did Jesus say in the Word of God? He that hateth not his father, his mother, he went through all the family, cannot be my disciple. What was he saying there? Was he saying you were to hate him? No. He was saying exactly what we're talking about. You mean you ain't willing to stand up for me, to your mom, to your dad, to your cousin, to your sisters, to your family? Really? You're not willing? You can't be my disciple. Amen! If you're not willing to stand up to your family, then you can't be my disciple. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm just telling you, he says that you can't be his disciple. You're not going to follow him then if you're going to follow other people. If you're going to follow feelings or family or anything else, then you're not his disciple. You're not following him. You're following your whims. You know, remember John 6:66? That many turned back from him that day. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? The humanism. Many were offended at him and turned back. Turned from him that day and they turned back. They went away. Why? Because they weren't able to handle walking with him. They weren't willing to sacrifice to walk with God. I want to ask you, the Bible says grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Do you think the Holy Ghost of God is grieved when his people participate in Halloween? When they participate in a high satanic day? Don't you think he's offended? Or don't you think he's grieved by that? Don't you think the Holy Ghost of God is grieved by that behavior? You think the Spirit of God enjoys such activities? You know, the Bible says it's not about your family pleasure. It's not about what pleases you or what makes somebody happy. Oh, I like it. You know, you're going to grow up and be a big boy Christian someday or a big girl Christian someday when you realize it don't matter what you like. It's real simple. It doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter what I like. What matters? What God commanded us, thus saith the Lord. That's what matters. You know, you'll be able to walk away from so many things when you can say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, that's what he said. I'm following him. You know what liberty there is in that? What about your family? What about them? Well, I'm following God. God doesn't want me having any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So I'm not only going to tell you I'm not going to participate in Halloween, I'm going to tell you the truth why I'm not going to participate in it. You think about that for a second. I'm not only going to tell you the truth that I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because it's a satanic witch's day, that's why. It's a high Satanist pagan day. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You have churches having Halloween parties. Ugh. Seriously? Churches having witchcraft parties. That's what they are. Learning the way of the heathen. They'll call it something else. No, we're just dressing up like something else. Friend, I'm going to tell you something right now. If it looks like it, if it smells like it, it's it. All right? Probably half of them are witches, that's right. You think about it. The command was given to walk in the Spirit. I like this verse, I want to read it to you. Luke chapter 14, verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Boy, that's pretty powerful language, isn't it? By the way, he just nailed the whole family. He didn't just wait for a couple. Man, he nailed everybody. He said everybody, and yourself too. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it doesn't matter if you like it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Isn't that interesting that the last one he says is you? Because he gets down to the root of the problem. You. And you have to deny yourself. And you have to take up your cross. And you have to follow me. That's what he said. Or you cannot be my disciple. No man can serve two masters. I'll tell you, we got too many people now that don't want to stand up to family, and this is exactly what this verse is teaching. Over and over again, they don't want to say, well, I don't want them to be upset, or they'll be offended, or why? What are they going to do to you? I mean, so they'll be upset. They'll get over it. Well, maybe they won't. Well, maybe they won't then. Maybe they won't. Let's say they don't get over it. Then what do? You raise your family for the Lord. That's what you do. The alternative is for you to compromise with the world. And then you never have any standard in your life. All you do is go with every whim of everyone else. But you never stand for anything. Jesus is very clear. Very clear here. He's talking about your relationship. Why? You think Christ knew that living for Him and being His disciple was going to cause a lot of enmity between you and other people? Even your father and your mother and people like that? What, you got to look at them and you got to tell them this is the way it's going to be? Hey, I have to do it. I have to do it all the time. This is the way it's going to be. I don't have a problem doing it. I have to. I'm got to do it. Who else is going to do it? It's not always easy, but it's always right. Amen. You know, God's people are really confusing the world with their lack of separation. You know, people don't even know anymore what true Bible faith is. They don't read a Bible. They try to read you as a Christian. And man, they got to strain to see if there's any part of Christ in you at all, in your life. Anything that remotely they could see Christ from. We ought not have that testimony, folks. The world is confused because God's people are so mingled with the world. We're so mixed up and mingled with everything. God's people are commanded to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I wonder if you understand the laughing that goes on. Besides the devil laughing at us, that his wicked minions are laughing at God's people when they have anything to do with Halloween. When they have anything to do with these satanic high days. When they practice them, when they go about the same rite as living as the world does. These folks have to wonder, what in the world? What in the world are you doing? I ask you some questions. Anybody that hears this, why would we plan on participating in Halloween? Why would we want anything to do with it? You know, preachers used to preach on this, but they stopped preaching on a lot of these things anymore. They don't like to touch them. Too many people get offended. Oh, well, you can't really preach against it when you're having Halloween parties. Difficult to cover that one. Don't come to the church Halloween party. I don't even know how you could say church Halloween party. Church of Satan. Anyway, but there's churches out there that do it. Call themselves churches anyway. But now people are more concerned if they chase people off. I said this 3 years ago when I preached this, and I'll say it again. If this message chased somebody off, they shouldn't be here in the first place. Or they don't want to be here. And that's fine. That's really fine. People don't understand when I say that. But you know what? I trust the Lord. And God brings in who He wants here. And whoever hears this, if it offends them, the truth does offend. And it will always offend. The truth is always going to offend. And I don't care if you have somebody that's a lot nicer than me that comes up here and says it in a nice way. No? That that won't offend you? It'll offend you either way. It doesn't matter who it is, what it said. It's going to offend. Why? Because it's the truth. Amen. Do you think they killed Stephen when they stoned Stephen? You think they stoned him because they didn't like his personality? By the way, he said some of the same things that you stiff-necked and rebellious generation. You do always harden your hearts. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. He shouldn't talk like that. He should be a lot nicer than that. No, I'm afraid not. Nice gets you Halloween parties. Truth will cause you to flee from the wicked. It'll cause you to flee from error. You hear some of the arguments here. Well, I like the cute kids. Does God like children dressed up as witches and sorcerers and ghouls and goblins and evil? Oh, look, that one's dressed like a little witch. I don't think any of you want your daughters to grow up to be a witch, do you? Do any of you want your daughters to pretend to be one? Do any of you want your daughters or your sons to go to parties where people pretend to be witches and pretend to be warlocks and pretend to be Satanists and pretend to be zombies and everything else? And or dress up like Hollywood actors and hate God and mock Him and laugh at Him while you're spending money on their products so they can make money, so they can use it to push their satanic, false, occultic, false gospel. I guess really you have to ask the question, who is on the Lord's side? When it comes to any of these issues, you really have to ask that question, who is on the Lord's side? Just like we did with rock music, just like we did with Hollywood, just like, who is on the Lord's side? I mean, Saul consulted the familiar spirit. He went inside to the witch of Endor, and incidentally, that witch of Endora, just so you know, if you've ever seen that movie or that TV show back when you were a kid, maybe Bewitched. Did you ever see that? Any of you ever seen that show, Bewitched? Well, the mother's name was Endora. Okay, they got that name from the Bible. That's where that came from, just so you know. So I watched that show, so I know exactly. I've seen it before. But that's where they got the name at. That's supposedly the Witch of Endor. So she's very old at that point. But anyway, so that's where they got that name. Anyway, what are we teaching our children if we don't teach them definitively what is evil and what is right? What is the appearance of evil and what is not? I can't help but think when I look at fundamentalist kids today that have grown up in these what I call hybrid homes of mixtures of right and wrong and just no clear stands on Scripture and separation from things, that they were given a message at church, they were given preaching at church, but then when they got home, the TV preached another message to them. Their music preached another message to them. And some of the people that are 30 years old now and 40 years old now wonder, how did I go astray? Because there were two messages preached to you. One message was from the pulpit, do right. The other one was from pop culture in Hollywood. So you have the message of God and the message of devils. Now, the preacher only gets a couple shots at you a week. That television and that music gets 24 hours a day, 7 days a week access to you. You think about it. What's going to have more of the influence? When you put bad things in, what bad things come out? Amen. And your evil heart loves the bad things and will cleave to those bad things. Whatever sin that you and I don't stamp out in our homes, it will show up in our children. It will manifest in them. It will show up in their lives. Our anger, that's why we have to ask for forgiveness when we mess up. Our bad attitude, all those things, we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to call it sin and get it right because it'll show up in our children. If we allow entertainment that's wicked, if we allow them to participate in Halloween and all these other things, then guess what? They're going to say, well, you know, my dad let me do this. It can't be that bad. You know, I really want to be careful because I don't want to hear my son when he's 23 years old, 24 years old, 25 years old, be like, well, my dad let us do this, so this should be okay. And it's something that's sinful.
That'll bother me greatly. I don't want to do that. I want anybody who comes to this church or has ever been a member of this church or ever leaves, and if the Lord tarries his coming and things don't roll as fast as we think and we become old and I die, I want people to understand that I know where that preacher stood on things. I know where he stood on the Bible. I know where he stood on separation from sin. I know where he stood on Hollywood. I know where he stood on all those things, and he stood against them. And he taught us from the scriptures, and he stood against those things. Stood against the holidays and things that have nothing to do with God that are made up. Made up from witches. Made up from Satanists. Made up from occultists. See, I don't like to hear that. Well, I'm sorry, it's the truth. You may not like to hear that Christmas is not of God, but it's not of God. You can't make it of God just because you say it is. You can't make Halloween of God just because you say it is. It doesn't work that way. You won't find it anywhere in the scriptures. Now, I'm not telling you not to go eat with your family or not to go spend time with your family or do anything like that. That doesn't matter. You know whether you're worshiping according to the heathen or not. Amen? You know. I ain't going to drag a tree out of the forest or go buy one at Walmart. I'm not going to fasten it. I'm not going to do those things. Amen. I'm not going to. Why? Because it's the way of the heathen, and that's what Scripture says. I mean, people say, well, that's not a Christmas tree. Yeah. And Halloween is All Saints' Day. By the way, if the Pope calls something, who wants to have anything to do with what the Pope says anyway? Oh, we celebrate All Saints' Day. You mean the saints that he murdered? Which ones? Yeah. Just a bunch of Jesuits is all it is. Just a bunch of garbage. Folks, we need to get back to the Word of God. We got to get through this where the spiritual things and understand spiritually that we are under an attack spiritually. That's what's going on. The devil is after God's people. And he wants to consume them because we are coming fastly approaching that strong delusion. It's already here, but it's growing, that strong delusion. And if we can't stand up and say, no, Halloween's wicked. There is no compromise with it. It's wicked. We're in trouble. Because if you ain't going to stand for something like that, you think you're going to stand when real persecution comes? Let me tell you something. I don't want it to happen. But the best thing that could happen to America? Persecution. It's the best thing that could happen to the churches of America is persecution. Because it's the only thing in history that was a refining fire. It's the only thing that brought power. Only thing that brought repentance. So we got too comfortable. You know, the Bible is very clear. Halloween, or hallowed be thy name. You name the name of Christ, we're his children. We call ourselves Christians. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and we'll be done here. Verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one, look at that. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, if that was the only verse in the Bible, that and abstain from all appearance of evil, that ought to be enough for us to understand that whatever the way the heathen is, I don't want to be a part of it. I want to stand out differently from them. Do you understand that? It isn't even as much as I'm just going to quietly take my place and not have any. No, I want to preach against it. I want to preach loud against it. I want to scream and holler and snort and spit against it. I want to yell. I want to scream out on the street against it. Why? Because I want to be a witness for God. That's why. I want to tell the truth. Why? Because they that name the name of Christ, they depart from iniquity. They abstain from it. They're away from it. And they not only do that, but they reprove it. There's some people that'll just quietly not be a part of anything, but won't say anything, won't stand up to anybody, won't tell anybody why. No, we need to tell them why. We need to tell them why. Because hallowed be thy name. We have his name. He saved us. He washed us in his own blood. And they mock his sacrifice. They mock the Lamb of God. And they're in a perpetual war against him. And you know what? Whether anybody likes it or not, I am in a perpetual war against them. Christ said, you take that sword, and you take that armor, and you fight. It's not the time to sit down and be quiet, folks. It's going to get bad. It's the time we stand up and tell the truth and speak out against wickedness. Especially this kind of wickedness. This is the simplest, easiest one right here to speak out against. Halloween, or hallowed be thy name? This is a question you have to ask yourself, and anybody who's listening has to ask themselves. Does it matter? Oh yeah, it matters to God. Every time you stand for truth, it matters to God. Every time.